Rachel Corrie, A Light That Did Not Bow. On March 16, 2003, in the southern Gaza Strip, the earth trembled beneath a bulldozer, and in front of it stood a young American woman, 23 years old, draped in an orange safety vest, holding a megaphone, her voice raised in protection of a family's home. Her name was Rachel Corrie. She stood alone in the sand that day, but not in spirit. In her heart were the children she had played with, the mothers who had fed her, the families who had invited her into their lives. She believed her presence would stop the machine. It did not. When it moved forward, it crushed her body. But it could not crush what she stood for. Rachel Corrie was not killed simply by the weight of a bulldozer. She was killed by the weight of injustice, and she died standing in its way. The Making of a Witness. Rachel Aliane Corrie was born on April 10, 1979, in Olympia, Washington, a place of rain, forests, and quiet political conscience. Even as a child, Rachel felt the burdens of others. She asked big questions early and often. At the age of 10, she declared her goal to end world hunger. She did not grow out of this, she grew deeper into it. At the Evergreen State College, she studied global development, literature, and political theory. But Rachel wanted more than theories. She wanted to confront injustice face to face. When she learned about the Palestinian people suffering under military occupation, a life of demolished homes, sealed borders, and shattered dreams, she didn't just study the crisis. She went. In January 2003, Rachel arrived in Gaza as part of the International Solidarity Movement, ISM, a Palestinian-led nonviolent movement that welcomed international activists into the heart of the occupied territories. There, her heart found its cause. And Gaza found a daughter. Gaza, the heartbeat of her conscience. Rachel did not simply observe Gaza. She entered its life. She lived among the people of Rafah, a city scarred by siege and loss. She stayed with Palestinian families in homes under threat of demolition. She learned Arabic, helped children with schoolwork, shared bread with neighbors, and walked the same dusty streets shadowed by tanks. The people of Rafah welcomed her not as a guest, but as one of their own. She was known lovingly as Rasha, and she did not keep her distance. She sat in mourning tents. She carried groceries for mothers. She stood with farmers in bulldozed fields. Her presence was not symbolic, it was sincere. In her letters home, she described the unbearable injustice and the unbearable silence of the world. "I am witnessing this chronic, insidious genocide," she wrote. "I'm also discovering a degree of strength and generosity that I never thought possible." Rachel understood that solidarity was not a slogan, it was a sacrifice. And she was willing to make it. The Final Stand, A Witness Made Eternal. On March 16, 2003, Rachel Corrie stood before the Nasrallah family's home in Rafah. She had lived with them, shared their table, and slept beneath their roof. That day, the Israeli military sent a Caterpillar D9 bulldozer to demolish their house, as they had done to hundreds of others in Gaza. Rachel stepped forward. She wore a bright orange vest and shouted through a megaphone, clearly visible in the open field. The machine advanced. It did not stop. When it retreated, Rachel's body lay beneath it, crushed, lifeless, yet forever changed into something immortal. Israeli authorities seized her remains. What happened next inflicted a second, quieter violence, this time upon her family. Without honoring their rights or grief, Israeli officials conducted an autopsy on Rachel's body without her family's consent, then cremated her, and returned only her ashes to her parents in Olympia. Rachel's mother, Cindy Corrie, later testified in an Israeli court and in international interviews. "We were never consulted about the autopsy. We were told it had to happen before her body could be released, but we were not told when, where, by whom, or that our requests would be ignored." Cindy Corrie, 2010 Haifa District Court testimony and 2015 interview. This final indignity, carried out without care or consent, remains a haunting chapter in the injustice of her death. It denied her family even the most basic right, to tend to their daughter's body with peace, prayer, and presence. But in Gaza, her spirit was honored with dignity. There, Rachel was not buried in silence. She was lifted up as a shahida, a martyr. In the culture of Rafah, in the eyes of the family she died defending, she had achieved the highest moral standing, not through violence, but through sacrifice in defense of life. The people of Rafah held a symbolic funeral. They wrapped her photograph in Palestinian flags, carried her memory through the streets, and invoked the verses of the Quran, which echo through the centuries in honor of those who died defending the innocent. and never think of those who have been killed in the cause of Allah as dead. Rather, they are alive with their Lord, receiving provision, rejoicing in what Allah has bestowed upon them of His bounty, and they receive good tidings about those to be martyred after them who have not yet joined them, that there will be no fear concerning them, nor will they grieve. They receive good tidings of favor from Allah and bounty, and of the fact that Allah does not allow the reward of believers to be lost. Surah Ali Imran 3-169-171, Sahih International. Though Rachel Corey was not Muslim, the spirit of Shahada, of truth embraced unto death, was fully alive in her. Her martyrdom was not only accepted by the people of Gaza, it was sanctified. Her name joined the sacred list of those who gave their lives for justice, for dignity, and for others. A family that would not forget. Rachel's parents, Craig and Cindy Corey, could have turned inward with grief. Instead, they turned outward with purpose. They founded the Rachel Corey Foundation for Peace and Justice, not as a memorial to the past but as a commitment to the future. They stood before courts, governments, and universities, demanding justice for their daughter and for the people she stood with. In 2012, an Israeli court ruled her death an accident, absolving the state. But Craig and Cindy's mission never wavered. To this day, they are personally engaged in the defense of Palestinian rights, amplifying the voices of the silenced, walking paths Rachel once walked, and embodying the truth she died for, that justice does not belong to one nation, one faith, or one people, it is a universal inheritance. Their daughter had not lost her life. She had given it, freely. The light she left behind. Rachel Corey's name now lives in murals across Gaza. Schools bear her name. Children are taught about the American who stood for them when few would. She is remembered in poems, films, and vigils. The play My Name is Rachel Corey, compiled from her letters and journals, has moved audiences to tears around the world. But her real legacy is not in art or memory. It is in the living conscience she awakened in others. She has inspired thousands to question their own roles in systems of oppression, to stand in solidarity with the occupied and displaced, and to remember that even one person, if guided by truth, can stand against a wall of injustice. In the hearts of Palestinians, Rachel Corey remains not a symbol, but a sister, one whose love crossed oceans and whose sacrifice joined her with generations of the righteous. Conclusion: the witness who will not be silenced. More than 20 years have passed, but Rachel Corey's name still resounds, in refugee camps, classrooms, protests, and prayer. She was not a soldier, not a diplomat, not a politician. She was a human being, fearless, principled, and full of love. She did not come to Gaza for herself. She came for them. And she stayed. Whoever saves a single life, the Quran declares, it is as if they had saved all of humanity. Surah Al-Maidah 5:32. Rachel Corey tried to save many, not with violence, but with her presence. She was not silenced by fear. She did not flinch before the engines of oppression. And though her body was broken, her witness remains unbroken. Rachel Corey is not gone. She is alive, in memory, in spirit, in every act of courage that follows her. She is alive with her Lord, among the martyrs, rejoicing in the light she walked toward. She stood and fell and rose forever. References: Corey, Rachel. Let Me Stand Alone, The Journals of Rachel Corey. Edited by Cindy Corey and Craig Corey. New York, W. Norton & Company, 2008. The Holy Quran. Translated by Sahih International. Jeddah, Abul Qasim Publishing House, 1997. International Solidarity Movement. Remembering Rachel Corey. Statements and Eyewitness Testimonies, 2003. Human Rights Watch. Israel, Investigate Death of American Protester. Press Release. March 17, 2003. Amnesty International. Israel/Occupied Territories. Death of Rachel Corey Must Be Investigated. Public Statement. March 18, 2003. United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, UNACA. Rafah Demolitions, Overview and Humanitarian Impact. Gaza Strip Field Update, 2003. Corey v. State of Israel. Haifa District Court Verdict. Case 37105. August 28, 2012. Israeli Supreme Court. Decision on Corey v. State of Israel Appeal. Case 85732. February 12, 2015. Rickman, Allen, and Catherine Viner, eds. My name is Rachel Corey. London, Nick Hearn Books, 2005. Rachel Corey Foundation for Peace and Justice. Mission Statements and Public Advocacy Materials. Olympia, Washington, 2003 present.